Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Cannabis Kid. Good morning, Belle Star. How are you? Well, I was thinking about how do you jump into a show like this when you've had a weekend like that?
Well, you had your pretty much your own show.
I'm speechless. I'm in shock. And I'm just here to say I'm on cloud 11. I'm with Spinal Tap. Let's just go to cloud 11. I don't know who's on 9, but I'm up above watching them from
there. Three stories above. In the penthouse.
That's right. That's right. Hanging out with Dr. Quinn.
Medicine woman.
Oh, and the whole cast. So I just have to give a shout out to everybody that was there. James, Joe, William, Cedric, Brandon, all the feet, Erica, everybody.
You're so
oh my gosh, Sean, Brian, little Brian, little bowl cut Brian.
I saw
there.
Him.
Oh
he's
my
all
God.
Grown up.
He's grown up and his kids were there.
What?
Oh my God. And now, actually, Jane brought half her kids. She was excited that half of them showed. It was awesome. Well, I had a magical Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman weekend. It was their 25th anniversary reunion of the show.
A lot of shows that did that this weekend.
Yeah.
So now, did they actually do a show?
No.
Okay, because I wanted to know, like, how it was more of a cast all together.
Yeah, hang out. Yeah. Some of them hadn't seen each other for 20-something years.
So no one, like, really recreated scenes from the show, or was that happening? Were you doing that?
We all were, as a whole. We were recreating Dr. Quinn in every moment we could. Yeah. You can see the smile. I can feel the smile on my face. It's not go away. Drinking my coffee out of my tin cup this morning for the crew. And it was fantastic. And total shout out to Rachel and Cal, Zach, her assistant, and they were awesome. Everybody was so nice. I just, you know, there wasn't Orson Bean, Eve Brenner. Everybody was just incredible. Horace and Myra were there. For those fans of you that watch the show, I know you're going, oh my God, you're kidding. Yeah, no, totally not. Check out. I'm trying to figure out. I'll laugh. I'm trying to figure out Instagram. I don't even know how to post my photo of Jane and I on Instagram. She beat me to it with a beautiful message. Thank you. Thank you for that. That was such a magical weekend. Yes, it was. And that message was just awesome. The photo was awesome. Her assistant, everybody was awesome. They were all awesome. I just can't. Is there a better word than that? I don't know. I'm sure there is. I'm sure my smart friends out there going, oh, you could have said this. Well, okay, say it.
Now, you met some friends that hung out with Willie that were...
Yes, I did. Shockley, as Jane calls him. Shockley.
Shockley.
Shockley. William Shockley, a.k.a. Hank on the show. Woohoo! Yeah. Hank and I got to hang out, and Hank hung out with Willie. Willie was a guest on the show. He played Marshall Birch. And he was a guest on the show, and one of the cast members was during their Q&A, they were talking about their experiences with, like, Johnny Cash, you know. And,
wow.
Yeah, Johnny and June did a couple episodes, and just how amazing it was. And then someone mentioned Willie Nelson, and one of the cast members said, yeah, wow, you could really smell it when you walk by. And then they gave the microphone to Hank, and he says, oh, I went in. Sorry, I'm going to have to say I'm going to blow your cover here. And I inhaled. Woo! So I said to him later, you got to come on the show, man. He's like, all right. So shout out to William and his gal. We'll call her Babes because that's what he calls her. We don't want to give out too many names.
Right, right. We don't want to be name-dropping here on Tuesday.
Well, I don't want anyone getting... Well, they don't get in trouble, but, you know, you can't... Whatever.
No one can get in trouble.
Whatever.
I mean, we're...
Live. Weekday, Wednesday. Live radio. It was amazing. Everyone...
Good times.
Oh. Good times. Where's our good times?
A little fake cigar over there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got this. I went all out. And they appreciated that because my outfits were, like, from the set.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're from the set. The costume designer. She was so great. She was like, you did good. And I'm like, you set the standards. Super high. Hello.
Even to the point where the one guy goes, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, he's like, I haven't seen you for a while. And I'm like,
you've been an extra.
Yeah, or something.
The whole time on the show.
And I don't know if it was the outfit or just how freaking happy I was. I was glowing like I was having like triplets or something.
I was showing your pictures off to everybody. So you were having so much fun that I was having so much fun.
A lot of people were having fun with me having fun.
You?
With them having fun. And that's what they did. I was telling, you know, stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with one of the actors that played Preston A. Lodge III. He also played Custer, too. It was awfully. So that was one of his favorite things. But the smile on his face, like you looked around and everyone was grinning ear to ear. They were all red from smiling. Yeah, it was a little hot out there, but they were red from smiling and everybody was happy. You know, the whole reason that they were there is because we were there, and the whole reason we were there is because they were there.
Right.
It's just this big Dr. Quinn love fest. It was really, really awesome. Yeah. So
now,
thank you, everybody. Thank
there
you.
There was one person planning. That didn't show.
Thank you to the organizers who put that together and, who didn't show?
Sully.
No, Sully was there.
Was there?
Sully was there, of course. Sully and I hung.
I thought there was somebody that didn't get
Oh, there were a couple. There were a couple.
Some big ones.
Well, there were a couple people that, Matthew Cooper, Sheriff Matthew Cooper, and that was just sad. That was wrong. But he was in school, so good for him. We'll applaud education because that's what we're all about. Woo! I know, it just feels like that. Like really annoying. Anything there. So we're going to be on Cloud 11 for the whole show. And
Thanks
for tuning in. If you can keep up, check out tumbleweedpestcenter.com.
And
now I'm so embarrassed. So I'm trying to get pictures of what's happening from Miss Seymour's actual social media guy, who is an absolute awesome guy. And he's taking pictures and he's like, hey, what's your Instagram? And I'm like, I don't know.
So Bell star.
I know, but we have so many awesome people that help me with this because I thought I was good at it. So I grabbed my phone and he's like, here, hang on, swipe, there it is, bam, oh, there it is, bam, and there it was, just like that. So thank you. Yeah, you did good.
That was bam.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a game winner. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's once you get in, it really is easy to handle and take care of. You just got to... It's a want thing.
Yeah. Well,
you're
so
busy.
Many. Yeah.
You're busy. You're
a busy
woman.
Lady.
And
I'm gonna be even busier now.
Yeah, you got an Instagram. You are. Yes. Automatically, you're already busier.
I'm busier.
Congratulations. I knew you had such a fun time. I knew it was a big.
You know what was also so fun? I think what I'm really tired from is planning.
Uh huh.
I went down to Tombstone. I can't tell you how many times to get just the right outfit.
Right.
Online researching, found out the history behind the boots,
that
the collars,
awesome.
The hats.
The time of the wear, or the wear during that time.
And you know what they all told me the two things that were really cool, and one of them I shared with Jane, and what I shared with her was every store I went into in Tombstone, everyone has to go there and hang out just because it's a great part of history. But everybody had a Dr. Quinn story, and they all wanted me to say thank you to them for doing that show because they all loved it. And the moment they found out what I was doing, they were like, hold everything, get this chick in an outfit. It was awesome. So, and the other thing they said, which made the most sense, was it was all about function back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about function. It wasn't about, I mean, except if you were from Boston, maybe. But,
got a little more
you know,
here.
If you take a look at Clammy Jane's photos, now, that was a functional lady, seriously.
Uh-huh.
So my outfit was more Little Sully, Calamity Jane meets Bell Star.
Uh-huh.
It was bitch in it.
You took that.
It
was awesome.
It's in me, though.
It was
There's
good.
A history
it
in there.
Awesome.
I felt it. Yeah.
Yep.
And one of the other characters, I know this turned into a Dr. Quinn show, but one of the other,
sorry,
Dr. Andrew Quisk said, yeah, sorry, guys. He said this is really the only time that, you know, he's experienced, he's not acting anymore, which he should be, but he said that when he put on that doctor suit, he said from the inside out internally, he felt himself turn into Dr. Andrew Cook, and he loved it, became that guy, which was a really good guy to become. He did a good job on the show.
Yeah.
Married to Colleen, helped the Dr. Quinn, you know.
The Dr. Quinn.
He done good on that show.
Helped
yeah.
the Dr. Quinn.
Now he worked for Preston. We won't go there, but oh my God, that was one of the greatest conversations I had at the whole event. All right, so today, Weekday Wednesday, it's not all about Dr. Quinn, though it could be. We've got, hopefully calling in, Mary and Tom from the Peace Fair. This year is the 34th annual Peace Fair, I believe. Let me get to my Tumbleweeds page here. I believe it's the 34th annual Peace and Music Festival. And if you want, you can check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and just go right to the events page, and it'll tell you exactly what it is. 2016 Peace Fair and Music Festival, Saturday, February 27th. That's this Saturday, folks, if you want to come out. This is a really great event, 11 to 4. It's free. Ooh, we love that.
Ooh,
love free, because that means we can afford to go. It's at Reed Park Fan Show. And this year's theme is Compassion for Refugees and Migrants. We are all one world.
Awesome.
I love it.
What
all
a
one
great
world.
Message to spread right
all
now.
One world.
I mean,
totally. I mean, at any time in this whole planet. But
as a human
seriously.
Race, I think we have to be reminded of that.
We have
we
to
are
live from our hearts, people.
Yeah.
Come on.
We do.
Whether you are dirt poor or have gazillions and trillions of dollars, you got to come from right here.
Mm-hmm.
Glad
you
do.
You do.
You do
too,
you
Bill.
Do. You do. Canvas kid, you do, so you do. So come down and see our booth. We'll give you a free little gift if you mention that you heard Bellstar. That's right, Bellstar and Canvas Kid on there.
Yeah, we'll sign whatever. And
yeah, we'll sign. We'll
sign your baby.
Yeah. We'll sign your baby. What about the baby?
Right across
and,
the forehead. Bellstar and the Canvas Kid.
And you
don't wash that baby's head.
No, not for a long time.
Those signatures are worth some money.
A lot of money. Where are my spectacles here? All right, let's see what we got going.
Well, you know, this is actually going to be my first year at the Peace Fair. More than I should, probably shouldn't say that. I know.
You've never been there?
I've never been.
Oh, my.
Oh,
I just turned into that Valley Girl. For
oh, M-G.
Okay, well, welcome. It's awesome. There are booths all around from various organizations that promote Earth, and peace and nonviolence, you know, and good things. So come down and check it out. There's going to be a lot of great organizations down there.
Food trucks and
music.
Tucson's got some amazing food
vendors.
Trucks.
People love to buy things. We know you love to shop.
Shopping.
You can just go shopping if you want. Just go shopping if you want.
Well, this looks like an incredible event.
Yeah.
I'm just looking over at the Facebook page right now. Which you can get to by Facebook.com, just by typing in at your search bar, Tucson Peace Fair Center. And you can find that all on Facebook. They don't have a, they do have a website that you can go to, but like Bill said.
Can you post them on our blog?
Yeah.
Are you
like
on our blog?
Like Bill said, it is all free.
Yeah.
And free entrance.
Come and promote peace. Did you know Mother Teresa said that you would never have seen her at anti-war rallies, but you would find her at peace rallies? Because just even in the wording, she wouldn't go somewhere that said war because people were going to be mad at that place. But if you're going to a pro-peace, and there's loving hippies all over with good food and good messages and hugs and little kids, and bring your dogs. Dogs, keep them on a leash. Sully, I need you too. The dog, Sully. So, yeah, check it out. Check out, let's see, and if you don't know where Reed Park Band Shell is, it's just kind of like 22nd Country Club, is that
yeah,
where
Country
that
Club
yeah.
and 22nd, yeah. Right there, lots of parking. I know it's probably going to be a busy day, but
What's
the one thing about Reed Park, there's plenty of parking all around that park and that community.
Let me see what, going on with my Apple Watch. All right, here we go. Steve says Saturday's going to be 86 and sunny. That's going to be a beautiful day. Bring lots of water. What people don't understand, they go out and they're like, "This is, you know, we've got our hot days coming up already."
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because it's February. Sorry, mister. He's over here panting the knife. Like, dang it. Bring water. Drink water. I don't do enough. I'm just basically reminding myself because I'm preaching to me. I do not. But, you know, vitamin water, tea, just drink something. Get it in you.
Yeah.
Don't fall over because you don't have water in you. But there will be water out there. So don't fret. Check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com for news and information. We are open Monday through Friday. Come get certified 10 to 6 p.m. Saturday. We're even there. 10 to 3. We're going to be there Saturday.
We are.
We are also going to be at the Peace Fair Saturday. So this is going to be quite a little juggling act. Yeah, where's that thing? Where's that track? There's a joke track. Where's that? Oh, no. That's the drum roll. Not the drum roll, but the... Yeah, that thing. All right. Did you know that the former Surgeon General supports Bernie's marijuana bill? Want to hear about that?
I do.
Let's hear it. Bernie Sanders is pushing for the descheduling. Okay, let me just say that again. Descheduling. Okay.
Totally descheduling.
Get it out of there. Get it out. Bernie Sanders is pushing for the descheduling of marijuana after introducing a bill to end prohibition in November 2015. But he's having trouble finding support from fellow politicians and currently has no co-sponsors for the bill. But he did recently gain support from former Surgeon General Dr. Jocelyn Elders, reports 420 Intelligence. Sanders has also expressed that he plans to introduce the bill and to end the federal ban on marijuana completely, descheduling it. Sanders has stated his support for marijuana legalization on numerous occasions. In my view, states have the right to regulate marijuana the same way that state and local laws now govern the sale of alcohol and tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And among other things, that means that recognized businesses in states that have legalized marijuana should be fully able to use the banking system without fear of federal prosecution or loss of your freaking bank account or money. Republican Rand Paul supports nationwide legal medical marijuana, but is opposed to the full legalization of recreational marijuana. Hillary Clinton has a conservative approach by claiming that she supports rescheduling of marijuana to a Schedule II drug, but is not in support of legalization. Dr. Elder said, "I certainly would support it. You know, we don't have cigarettes in the Controlled Substances Act, and we don't have alcohol on it. So I don't think marijuana should be removed and studied and looked at it. So, yeah, remove it." Sanders said in one statement in January 2016 that any serious criminal justice reform must include removing marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act. As political opponents voice their opinions on Sanders' bill, he continues to fire back, continually expressing his support for descheduling marijuana, which is awesome. And you know how he fires back?
Mm.
He has facts, and he has statements about the types of people that are suffering in jail, the minorities that are suffering in jail from stupid offenses like having a pipe in your
car.
Having a piece of paraphernalia with no marijuana in it.
There's
nothing.
No reason why we should be crowding our jails the way that we have been for the last 30 years.
Oh, longer than
longer
that.
Longer than that, but...
Yeah, so...
You know, it's done.
But
it's over.
It is,
you don't get to make
done.
Money off
yeah.
of people anymore. You know, this is ridiculous. This is not what this country was made to be for.
No. Not at all. So check it out. In good news, Arizona to start accepting new dispensary applications. Arizona will start accepting a second round of applications for medical marijuana dispensaries this summer. The exact date and amount of available dispensary locations have not yet been released by the Arizona Department of Health Services, but their website states it will be updated at least 30 calendar days before the date the department begins accepting the applications. Initially, when the first Arizona dispensary applications were received, applications were required to have at least $150,000 in the bank. But that stipulation was repealed in 2012 and is no longer a requirement.
You read that again. I don't think some people got it.
You don't have to have $150,000 in the bank anymore. That's not a requirement. The application selection process will otherwise be the same, reports the Phoenix New Times. The lottery-style selection process comes into play when two or more applicants are received for the same general area and all meet the same criteria. So... lottery. Crapshoot. currently, dispensaries that have been in operation for more than 3 years have an option to move their business to a new location with approval from the ADHS, Arizona Department of Health Services.
Wow.
If dispensaries choose to move their location, new applicants may be able to apply for those specific areas.
I feel like we're reading the rules of Monopoly.
So it's like, if you roll
a double six,
right?
you have to go to jail.
Yeah, but if you have the get out of jail card, or you roll a 5 and a 4 on your fifth
then
turn,
you get to get
facing south. Facing north.
If you own Boardwalk and Park Place.
Ooh, I like those. Those are good ones. What were the little purple ones?
Those were the really inexpensive ones.
Yeah, I love them. And then the light blue ones, too. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I bet our bloggers know. Where are we? I know. We don't have Facebook.
Tangents that we go off on. We're sorry, folks.
It happens. Anyway, Southern Arizona is nearly barren in terms of medical marijuana dispensaries. It's empty. 4 locations listed in the community health analysis area.
Did not receive any
applications in 2012, or you could do it. One Arizona lawmaker, Vince Leach, has sponsored a bill preventing dispensaries from moving from their original location. Given that dispensaries can move to a new approved location, opportunities to fill in the open CHAZ from the new applications is the main reason for the state's decisions to take new applications. Money! Yep. There you have it, folks. So that's a tiny little breakdown. What you should do is probably go to www.azdhs.gov and check out the real rules, or get with your lawyer.
If they do allow people to move, now there are some really nice dispensaries already set up in Tucson.
Yeah.
If any of those dispensaries move, lucky you to get to be moving into that same area.
Right.
Talk about the expense going down. I mean, we're talking about you redecorate these places and you make them look nice. We had Heather on. She was the dispensary designer. And it's such an important thing is having your dispensary set up nicely. So if any of these dispensaries do decide to leave the space they're in, and any of those new dispensary owners want to go and check out those places, That is going to be some amazing stuff.
Well, yeah, and now, you know, it's going to give other people the opportunity to get in there and open dispensaries and do things the way they want to do them and have opportunity if these areas are so barren, then we really, really, really need more dispensaries in those areas because you can't make, you know, you can't make people drive an hour and a half to get their medicine. That's not right. And then if you're going to have delivery and charge exorbitant fees that they can't afford anyway, that's not right either.
And a lot of these people don't.
They're on fixed income. They're on low income, no income. You know, they're on food
already
stamps.
On in pain. They
and
don't
are you guys
be
accepting food stamps right now? I mean, you know, people are on food stamps too. So, I mean, you got to, you know, they all can't get to you. Yeah, some of them are so much pain they can't drive. They don't have vehicles, whatever the case is.
Yeah. People are being still left without medication,
Sorry about the typing, folks. It had to happen. I know. I don't know. Our assistant's not here right now. So.
Yeah. Well, Belle, did you hear Australia said yes?
Say it.
Yeah. Australia's medical marijuana now legal.
All right. That's not a buzz.
Okay. Australians, all let us rejoice, for we are young and free.
Oh.
Sure, the new anthem may need some work, but today is a proud day for all Australians who have fought hard to gain access to the life-saving medicine as medical marijuana is declared legal.
Awesome.
Tell me the good news. Since earlier this month, we reported that on the Australia government's proposal to make change to national narcotics legislation. And from one proud Australian to another, we can happily announce that Narcotics Drugs Amendment Bill 216 has passed.
All right.
Woo!
Yeah.
This amendment, along with the subsequential changes to the Therapeutic Good Act of 1989, authorities state or territory government agencies to undertake and manage cultivation and production of cannabis and cannabis resin for the use of manufacturers of medicine and scientific studies. The bill, which is passed through the House of Representatives on Tuesday and the Senate on Wednesday this week, will create a national body that can issue license to growers and regulate local crops of medical marijuana. Australia's health minister Susan Ley has been reported saying.
There you have it.
So
wow, go on.
Just a nice little other countries that is leading the way in this whole legalization.
It's really, really important that everybody come out with their own program. We like to read from various places. I'm checking out Cannabis Business Times. They have a list of the worst states. But before we read that, I want to read this real quick. Roseanne Barr invests in a medical marijuana dispensary. Did you know that?
In Hawaii? California.
Santa Ana, California. Sure. Roseanne Barr is taking on a new venture, investing in a medical marijuana dispensary in Orange County. The comedian and political activist is becoming a partner in Santa Ana Venture, to be called Roseanne's Joint. The Orange County Registered reported, and here it is. There you go. The dispensary will also feature products grown on Barr's farm in Hawaii, such as chocolate-covered macadamia nuts, and I hate when they say this, laced with marijuana.
Yeah, it sounds so.
Can you just say infused?
Yeah, infused or incorporated.
Oh, jeez. In recent years, Barr has
combined with. You're getting laced.
Married with. Like a new wine. Married with marijuana. It's a married pair.
It is. Chocolate.
Married with marijuana. Mm-hmm. In recent years, Barr has been vocal in her support for medical marijuana. She has said she is going blind from macular degeneration and glaucoma and uses pot to help ease the pain. And I actually saw her on The View or whatever she was on. She was very, very vocal about that.
And I think more actors and more people who are out there using cannabis, we need you right now. I think more than ever, I think people that are using it and have been using it for their pain and the degenerative glaucoma stuff, it's the ocular pressure in the eye.
How old is Willie Nelson? I mean, this guy has been out and proud about marijuana since birth, and he's still kicking it. He's doing pretty well.
I'm not saying. I wanted to know. Roseanne's got, I wonder if she's going to be getting into Hawaii's whole dispensary.
Miss Barr, juice it. If anyone hasn't told you that yet, you should be juicing this stuff too.
That's
so
true.
It's good for you in every way, shape, or form. But
help out with that ocular
Late like it's plutonium.
Nice one. Thanks, Netherlands.
That's a good one. You know what else is a good one?
Like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up. Got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge. It used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high. Looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my... my keys, yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride, I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real, ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos, I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's, and then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped. Shit, I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Listen, the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Listen, the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Welcome back to Weed Day. Wednesday.
We've
been leaving all that time,
so
we didn't even get to smoke our bowl yet. So, Cannabis Kid's gonna rip it up. And we're going to get on back with our show as we're waiting for Mary from the Peace Fair. Where are you, Mary? So while we're waiting for Mary, we're going to report on some more news because that's what we do. We'll just talk about things, talk about cannabis things, all things cannabis. Oh, I did ask the good Dr. Quinn, the good doctor. I did ask her about, that was one of my questions for the Q&A, but I got a little special moment in the doctor's office because, you know, hurts when I do this. And I said, why? I said, what about cannabis? How come that wasn't mentioned? And she just said, basically, I mean, in fact, what they were dealing with was whiskey. Everybody just had their whiskey. So she said, when you had a problem, you just went to the bar, got your whiskey. You got whiskeyed up. And that made sense back then, or morphine, or opium. So we
they
talked about.
They didn't have cannabis tinctures.
I don't. See, I didn't get to ask Miss Sullivan, Miss Beth Sullivan, the writer, that I. No,
this was in the
1860s.
Yeah.
1860s. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. But it wasn't mentioned, so I didn't know.
Right.
all right. We got some dancers over there. That's some good dancing online. Yeah. Yeah, alcohol, you have to be careful with this kind of stuff, you know? It can be harmful, the opium, the morphine, which is where Ms. Clinton wants to put us back down to a level of cocaine, equal to cocaine. So, yeah, deschedule. Let's get with Bernie on that one. Let's just get it out of there. Put our lawyers
yeah.
Get it out. And you know what? Oh, I think Mr. President is going to do it. I know. But look at... Yeah, from back in the day, you could get Eli Lilly made cannabis extracts, and they did have a poison label on the bottle, which is kind of weird because you have to read what else is in there. I mean, there's a lot else in there. It's not just cannabis.
Yeah.
It's morphine, opium, alcohol. I mean, you could die just by taking probably that entire little bottle. So it was probably meant to be taken in very small doses. Word out to your opium levels. Yeah, Wednesday, Wednesday, we talk about it all on the show.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Tune in.
All right. Did you know that the California Medical Association supports the recreational marijuana bill? Did you know it? California recreational marijuana supporters have until July 5th to collect 366,000 good signatures, I might add, from registered voters to qualify the bill for the November ballot. Sean Parker, formerly with Facebook and Napster, is leading the initiative with support from activists, environmentalists, entrepreneurs, and state politicians, according to ABC7. The California Medical Association, the CMA, recently announced its support for the initiative. And the spokeswoman, Molly Whedon, said that, "We feel that this initiative specifically is in line with the concerns we had for better monitoring and research of cannabis." I love it. I love that right there. Monitoring and research of cannabis. Because we've seen, sadly, in states, you know, and it's going to happen where there's abundance of stuff, you're going to find the bad with the good. But we've seen, you know, our herb pulled from shelves because of, you know, infestations and chemical overloads and things that shouldn't be in there. So monitoring and researching is what we want to have happen. A statement released by the CMA included that the members of the association are particularly interested in provisions of the proposal that plan for the expansion of marijuana research. Some of California's recreational marijuana regulations would include non-medical sales would include a 15% excise tax. Persons 21 and older could purchase up to 1 ounce of marijuana, and persons over age 21 could grow up to 6 plants.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
And that's all you need, folks.
Because,
6 plants.
Oh, my gosh. And, right, yeah. That's a lot.
That's going to give you, you can even have a plant to juice with.
Oh, my gosh.
You
completely.
Really, I mean, you really could, if you
could,
did it right.
Yeah,
you could
mother
a
plant and just take leaves every once in a while and... You know.
And a bud here and there.
Is that dog eating cannabis?
He
all right.
Is.
The estimated tax dollars that could come from recreational marijuana sales are hovering around the $1 billion mark so far, according to the state's legislative analyst and finance director. The CMA hopes that legalizing recreational marijuana in the state will remove those in the medical marijuana system without genuine qualifying conditions. All of the signatures collected in support of legalizing recreational marijuana in California will be verified and must come from a registered voter residing in California.
Hmm.
So there you have it.
There you have it, folks.
There you go, California.
There you have it.
Oh, man, serious. Serious drum roll. We've got to make that happen. All right, what else is going on in the world? What's happening in the Netherlands? I know, holy cow. Well, in California, their dispensaries started in 1996. So it's been a good 20 years since they've been trying to get this thing legal. And watching other states around, they're like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. That's not fair. That shit ain't right. Sorry. Oops.
I think we have to get a president in there that really does see this as a medicine.
Well, I think Mr. Obama is going to...
He's going to be scheduling on his way out.
He's going to have a doobie in one pocket and a pen in another, and he's going to pull that
imagine?
Pen out.
That man has had
and he's
going to
sign that descheduling thing, and he's going to walk out the door and then put the pen back and take the joint out. That's what I'm saying.
Hmm.
He inhaled, and that was the point. He admitted it. He admitted it. He made it no big deal, and he gave us a lot of leeway. You know, our states have. So far, yeah, there's been way too many raids and such. We won't go there. But look where we are right now. Right? I'm not
True.
Saying.
We got a lot going for us.
We have a lot going for us.
I just wanted to throw
fantastic.
This in there. If you've got some puppies out there and baby dogs that have maybe some joint pain, hip pain, there's CBD dog treats out there right now.
Mm.
And that helps out with...
Arthritis,
inflammation, and,
pain,
mm-hmm.
And just their little body's ability to heal.
Yeah. And these are called CBD treatables, are a superfood wellness treat infused with the proprietary blend of CBD and other non-psychoactive cannabinoids derived from hemp grown in medical purposes. We seek to help strengthen and support animals with CBD-rich production to provide prevention care throughout their lives and restorative care.
Yeah, when they are sick or in pain.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. My boy Sully, that's my dog. That's the guy on the show. Although I don't know, he takes hemp oil every day. And he likes to eat it raw or dry, or he doesn't smoke it, so I don't let him do that. you know, pass the pipe, skip you. Sorry, so to skip you. But he does get it daily because he's had a broken hip since he was 3 months old, and I know that it helps him out. So it's good. It's good for them. And you can. There's all sorts of businesses popping up for pets.
Mm-hmm.
Popping up for pets is what's happening. Best marijuana stocks. What you got going on over there?
Oh, it was just a little bit more of the. They were talking about cannabis as Schedule 1 narcotic.
Mm.
It says information has strategically been suppressed, she says, in her opinion. And she really feels like the research needs to be done so more medical benefits of CBD can be brought out.
You know what?
We're about 80 years behind, she said.
Hello.
Yeah.
You know what? We're just going to read something for interestingness. How about that? The spiritual use of bong. Now, in India, they make this drink. I mean, I'm sure every country, every state, someone everywhere has made this. It's called bong. Maybe that's where we get the name for our bong. B-H-A-N-G. You can look it up. We'll put a link on our blog right now, so you can read along if you want. But this is about the spiritual use. The history. Bong has been used in India since Vedic times and as an integral part of North Indian culture. Sadhus and Sufis use bong to boost meditation and to achieve transcendental states.
Mm.
Bong or cannabis is also used among Sufis as an aid to spiritual ecstasy. In 1596, Dutchman Jan Huygen van Lynchiton spent 3 pages on bong in his historic work documenting his journeys in the East, also mentioning the Egyptian hashish, Turkish boza, Turkish bernavi, and Arabic burs, forms of consumption. The historian Richard Davenport Hines lists Thomas Bowery as the first Westerner to document the use of bong. So they used hashish, and then they went to Turkey and got their boza, bernavi, and burs, which I want to know what that kind of a form is.
Man.
Hashish, could you imagine?
With all of this, we're also getting other countries' recipes that they've been using for a very long time. So,
hey, spirituality is important. Mm-hmm. I think this country lacks something in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a melting pot here. We really are. I mean, we came from a place of someone else was mad and they didn't like the way things were done, so they came and took this place and said, we're going to do it this way, and everyone kept changing that. So we're kind of like a melting pot of everyone coming over and trying to do things their own way, which is great, but it doesn't lead for a unified, like, imagine if this whole U.S. had a one unified spirituality. And you can, you know, tell me what yours is. That's fine. Go for it. I know, 1596. So bong has become an integral part of tradition and custom in the Indian subcontinent. In some sections of rural India, people attribute various medicinal properties to the cannabis plant. If taken in proper quantity, bong is believed to cure fever, dysentery, sunstroke, clear phlegm, aid in digestion, appetite, cure speech imperfections, and lisping, and give alertness to the body. Holy.
I need that.
Smokes, I need that. So here's the Indian bong recipe. and we put this on our little blog, and we'll, you know what, I'll stick this on our Facebook page too, if I can learn, figure out how to do this quickly. You know, I'm still trying to figure the Instagram thing out. Oh, it's not working. It didn't just, oh, there you go. Right arm. Okay, there it is. Bam. Now, let's get back.
There you go, Bell Star.
Try. All right. The Indian Bhang recipe. B-H-A-N-G, if you want to look it up. So ingredients, you only need 1 to 2 grams of ground marijuana or hash. You need 2 cups of milk, 3 grams of butter, a pinch of spices like nutmeg or cinnamon. Honey and vodka are optional. Okay.
So
where the vodka came in.
Well, the vodka is a...
Oh.
It helps draw out some of the medicine. So
yeah.
When you're using it, it actually
it will
is,
draw out
mm-hmm.
some of the...
our alcohol use was all
yeah.
because of our elixirs and things like that. And actually,
yeah,
alcohol and cannabis mixed together makes a tincture for a very potent tincture to help out in pain.
It extracts
yeah.
the cannabis
mm-hmm.
from the plant. So you're getting
yeah.
a fuller experience. Okay, you need a pan, a stirring spoon, and a glass or a serving cup. This is just a quick recipe, folks. Heat the pan, let the marijuana simmer, put the butter in, and you want to simmer that for about a minute, which is what they're trying to do. They're trying to decarboxylate the cannabis by
mm-hmm.
heating it to just a slight temperature.
Right.
Add the milk, and then stir them well. Turn the heat. Turn down the heat and let the mixture just warm gently. Don't let it boil, and that's what they're doing. They're just
very
kind of
nice.
Like, yeah, ooh, you can just feel it. They're extract in all the
yeah.
butter and the milk, ooh, which are good conduits for cannabis.
Right.
Oh, any fatty, you know, coconut, butter, milk, things with fatties, you know, salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, add a pinch of traditional spices that you like, nutmeg, cinnamon, and...
Spice.
There you go for a
spice.
And then pour it into a glass of serving cup, and it's
turmeric.
Now ready to be enjoyed. Oh, turmeric! That's
be amazing.
Really, really healing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
one of my best uses.
When you do all these things together, there's a reason why all these ingredients were all mixed.
See, and they're adding now. They're saying at the end here, you can take it up a notch by adding vodka.
Right. So it says for
honey.
A little extra punch.
Yeah,
you
can
add that.
And so they're not using it as an extraction.
Uh-huh.
They're actually using it as
more of
a little extra punch.
Yep, a little extra punch.
A little extra punch. A little extra medicine in there for you. And, yeah, and if you're just adding a half shot or whatever shot, that's not a lot over the course of a nice warm drink. You can have some cookies with that. Mmm. We should probably make some after the show. That sounds pretty good.
It does sound like a really nice drink.
Sounds like magic.
Mm-hmm.
Good for your soul. So they also said, we did a little history reporting on this a little while ago, and we learned that if you didn't drink Bhang, you were going to their hell. But if you condemn those that drank Bhang, you were going to double hell. You believe
double
it?
Double hell?
Double hell. Yeah,
I didn't even know there was a double hell.
Oh, yeah. And you were going. I know. Can you believe it? Wow. You have a low battery.
I do. You have a low battery. The electronics lately have really taken over. Like, I feel like I'm constantly on them, and
yep.
really feel like I have to step back, and I cannot wait.
I know. But they're good media. You know, it's a good avenue for connection. Looks like you need to plug in. What you got there?
Oh,
no. Legalized marijuana and ballot initiatives under attack in Arizona legislature.
Thought maybe we should
post
talk
that.
About it.
Can you post that on our
Weed
Day, and I can, because your battery's gonna die, so we're gonna we're gonna have to bump this over to my Mac.
Bump it over.
Bump it over to that most reliable Mac. You know it. You know it. Watch it crash. Watch it crash.
Right
I know.
Now.
I told you we were on Cloud 11 today, and you just can't handle it.
If you
really
can't be up here with the cool people,
it's not my fault.
It's
not really
fault.
My problem.
Not my
really
problem.
Really my problem. Oh. There. Are we there?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Gotcha. All right. So who's under attack for what? All right. Legalized marijuana and ballot initiatives are under attack in Arizona legislature. Let's see what's going on. No, I don't want to subscribe right now, but thanks for asking.
Maybe later.
Some members of the Arizona legislature apparently think that the people of the state can't handle the responsibility of direct democracy, especially when it comes to legalizing marijuana. 4 new measures authored primarily by Republican State Representative Bob Thorp and J.D. McNard, chisel away at the power of the people to create or change Arizona law. As it stands, Arizona law is clear that ballot initiatives and referendums passed by the people cannot be vetoed by the governor or overturned by the legislature. This is all spelled out in the Voter Protection Act, which was put on the ballot and passed by the people in 1998, but that doesn't seem to stop lawmakers. HCR 2043 says, lawmakers can change anything future voters enact if a segment of the legislature proportionate to the percentage of voters who pass the initiative support the change. For example, if a ballot initiative passes with 67% of the vote, lawmakers can overturn it if 67% of the legislature approves of doing so. HCR 2023 allows a voter initiative to be overturned or altered if 3/5 of both chambers vote in favor of doing so. It also gives the legislature the power to undo or alter past voter implementation. HCR 2047 stipulates that for a voter initiative to get on the ballot, at least 25% of the required signatures must be from more rural counties, which would make it more difficult to collect enough signatures. Interesting. And finally, HCR 2024 says that people have a right to pass the initiatives and referendums through simple majority except. Don't you love that? Let me read that again. That's like, are you coming?
Listen.
Definite maybe.
Wait for it.
People have a right to pass initiatives and referendums through simple majority except if those initiatives or referendums propose a law that legalizes the recreational use of a drug that had been considered a controlled substance under the federal law at any time during 2014.
You can only vote, but
on
not
a
for
full
that.
Moon on a Tuesday, if the wind's blowing, I believe, west.
You have Grandma Jane.
Yeah. Grandma Jane.
No one else. I
Mary
don't.
Jane.
Neither one of us can do it.
I know. All my grandma was named Juanita. Does that count? Is Juanita close to Jane? All right. So for an initiative like that to pass, it would require more than 3/5 of the vote and support of the governor. Okay. Oh, Lord. In short, if marijuana legalization makes it onto the November ballot and the people pass it, these measures, and HCR 2024 in particular, would particularly guarantee it doesn't become law. Luckily, these measures are resolutions, not bills, meaning if they pass through the legislature, it will still be up to the people to vote them into law. I believe this is a blatant gesture of disrespect to the people of Arizona. These officials are elected to represent us, so when the people pass something, it's because we want it. To attempt to undermine voters is simply corrupt policy. Dave Wisniewski, a legalization proponent, Save for Arizona, writes in an email to New Times, these politicians need to sober up and understand where the country is headed on cannabis reform and why. Oh, man, we could talk about the lies all day long.
Let's talk about how our country is progressing.
Yeah.
And
well, look at where we are.
Let's not be the state that's not progressing with the rest of the country.
Yeah. Well, and there are a lot of those
out
there.
We're better than that.
I know, but just for fun, there was, I want to see the states that have the worst. Which states have the worst medical marijuana programs? And all I have to say is, you know, we're
you
glad.
You type that in. States
no,
that have the worst medical marijuana.
It's cannabisbusinesstimes.com. That was a little squeaky. But yeah. Because there are some states out there that have some challenged programs. But you know.
That's a good word.
I know.
Good
I like
word,
to
though.
Think, thank you.
Challenge.
I like to be PC when it comes to my weed.
Oh.
You put your weed.
Sure.
You put your weed in it. All right. 16 states received a failing grade in a new report. 16 states with some type of legal medical marijuana program received a grade of F or F plus in a new report. Medical marijuana access in the United States: a patient-focused analysis of the patchwork of state laws by Americans for Safe Access, a national member-based organization of patients medical professionals, scientists, and citizens promoting safe and legal access to cannabis for therapeutic use and research. Those states receiving a failing grade are Alabama, Florida, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Just three states received the top score of a B+, California, Illinois, and New Mexico. Illinois. Nine states.
It was like one of the last of the worst ones because it's almost like they're in the middle. They just can't get their stuff together. They are for it, and then they're a little bit longer. They got the dispensaries going, and
I know it's crazy.
You know, if we want to get someone on that wants to talk about Illinois and what's going on up there, Miss Regina Nelson would love to talk about what's going on down there.
Nine states received B's or a B-. Guess what Arizona got?
A C.
B-.
Ooh.
Hey, that's not bad. They're in the B's at least. I say we give them that. We give them that. Colorado got a B. Oh, we're not far behind.
Colorado got a B?
Yeah. Huh. Hawaii got a B. Maine got B-. Maryland got a B. Massachusetts got a B. Nevada, Oregon, and Washington all got B.
Huh. Well, I guess
that's pretty good, though.
Stuff
but
we can work on.
I wonder if we have criteria.
Yeah, that's probably stuff that we have to work on to get to the A status.
Well, what did they base all this on? And here we go. The base, the grades were based on. I must be psychic. The grades were based on how well the state's medical cannabis program, quote, meets the needs of patients in five categories. Up to 25 bonus points were awarded to states that made statutory or regulatory improvements or prevented harmful changes from taking effect. The five categories that were evaluated for grading purposes were patient rights and civil protection from discrimination. Ooh. Wow. Access to medicine. Ease of navigation, functionality, and consumer safety and provider requirements. That's interesting, provider requirements. So, all right, basically what each state was required within their program. As far as testing and other things go, too. So.
Well, we all know that we have stuff to work on, and each state definitely probably has to work on these different ones.
Yep.
We were hearing with Colorado being with new legalization, they had that scare with that cannabis batch that had pesticides on the plants.
Yeah.
And there's things that are still happening in state to state that haven't gone away, and maybe still hasn't even been what's my word? Taken care of or even notice that they even have a problem with it yet.
Well, I say, you know, when people start complaining about our program, you know, we're happy that we have one, you know, and no program is perfect right now because you can never meet all the needs of everybody all at one time. It's just virtually impossible unless you take it off scheduling, let us have it, and let us use it, label it, make sure we know what's in it, what's not in it, you know, test it.
What's not in it.
We don't really want things that aren't supposed to be in it. You know what I'm saying? But that's it. That's it for us. Did you know that? You know we're at that time? This working? There we go. You goof. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. We love doing this. We love y'all. We got our 4-year anniversary coming up on the 16th of March. Is that right?
Sure is.
And come out to the Peace Fair, Reed Park Banjo, and come see us 11 to 4. Stop by our booth for a free little gift. Mention us. You heard us on air. And come down to Tumbleweeds and get certified. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come on back. Come see us. Come get your card. You need it. You know you need it.
You want it.
You don't need it. You want it.
You need it.
Your grandma,
you want it.
Your grandma needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So come on down. And check us out. TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com.
Get legal.
Get legal. Support your state.
Mm-hmm.
Come down and sign the ballot initiative that's there. And come say hello. And come buy a book. Get educated.
Definitely.
Come get educated. But most of all, we love you. Thank you for joining the Weed Day Wednesday, and we will see you next week.
Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate. I missed that one.